Welcome back to the show on this Tuesday afternoon. We are joined now by the college football professor, who is not in studio today as he usually is, but traveling abroad, and we're glad to welcome him to our show. Professor, good to hear from you. Long way away.
Yes, it is. And we're now moving into a long season, but yet it's getting excited, isn't it, Jacob?
Well, it is. A lot of things happening. Undefeated teams. The number of undefeated teams is reduced week after week, and as we go on here, the first BCS standings just weeks away from coming out now. What are your thoughts on this past weekend?
Well, you know, Jacob, first, I would like to say that I think there were two revealing games, Wisconsin-Nebraska and Alabama-Florida. I guess the only difference was that Wisconsin was at home and Alabama was on the road, the two teams that gave us impressive wins. But it's always fascinating to me to look a little bit under the radar. For instance, the University of Alabama named Alec Watkins as the Defensive Player of the Week versus Florida. All of us noticed Trent Richardson and Courtney Upshaw. You know, Trent had his fourth straight 100-plus yards rushing, and Upshaw was all over the field. But yet we didn't notice that here was a guy, Alec Watkins, who was making a great contribution. Now, the second thing that I would classify as under the radar, I'm going to call it the last shall be first and the first shall be last. That's Washington and Washington State. They're both 3-1. I guess that's the first time that's happened in a long time.
I guess.
That those two teams would have this kind of record this time of year. Now, notice that Washington State defeated Colorado, and also Washington defeated Utah. Do you see a trend here? Colorado and Utah.
Yep.
Aren't with the bottom dwellers in the Pac-12, and they are both 0-2 in their new league. And then we also notice that Nebraska is 0-1 in the Big Ten, and Texas A&M is 0-1 in the SEC.
Yeah, that last one not quite official yet, but you're right. They are 0-1, and Nebraska they get a chance this weekend to play Ohio State, and we'll see how Ohio State shows in this game, but there's a good chance Nebraska could go 0-2. And Texas A&M, you talk about them being added to the SEC. Well, they lost to LSU in the Cotton Bowl last offseason, and then lost to Arkansas last year in the same rivalry game, so they are really 0-3 in a year against the SEC, SEC West. Any other thoughts on the weekend?
Well, another thing that I was thinking about, the SEC Offensive Player of the Week is named by the SEC,
right,
was Tarani Boudreau in soccer, that is. Now, you might say, why would you mention that?
Yeah.
Well, I've always wanted to give a shout-out to Boudreau, so
all
now
right.
I've done it.
Okay.
Vanderbilt leads the SEC in interceptions with 14.
That is correct.
And we might also remember that Slippery Rock defeated Clareton College 27-13, just as we predicted.
I was right there,
Jacob,
with you.
Yes, sir. And I'm thinking that that Alabama's moved up even with LSU.
Yeah.
Now, you notice that they both have two quality road wins, and Alabama has a quality home win. I might have to just move Alabama just a little bit ahead of LSU. I don't know how you think about that. We can look at our power rankings.
I think it'll sort itself out. I think, let's look at those power rankings. But LSU, has the same challenge this week that Alabama faced, only it's at home for them. But, LSU, they've gone on the road. Alabama's gone on the road. I think they're pretty even. It's hard to really – it's splitting hairs to say one's better than the other. I guess we'll just have to wait till November 5th to figure that out. But what are your power rankings?
Yeah, our power rankings for me, Jacob, this week is Alabama 1, LSU 2, Arkansas 3, Florida 4, and a tie between Georgia and South Carolina at 5. How do you see that?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. It's hard to know. We talk about the West. It's pretty self-explanatory. The only fly in the ointment, of course, is Auburn, that is now 2-0, which I don't think anybody thought they would be. But LSU and Alabama, I think the winner of that one will win the West. The East, on the other hand, is very interesting and intriguing. You have Florida with a loss, of course, to Alabama. South Carolina now with a loss to Auburn. Both of those are Western teams, so they don't hurt them quite as bad as Georgia's loss to South Carolina. Then you have, I mean, Vanderbilt only has one loss right now to South Carolina. Of course, they play Alabama this weekend. Doubtful they will win that one. Kentucky's the only team we can call out for sure. But watch out for Tennessee. Their only loss is to Florida. They play Georgia this weekend. It's going to be interesting to see if Tennessee could pull off an upset here or there and perhaps get into the conversation for the Eastern Division.
You're right, and these are going to be very intriguing games. Now, for the national power rankings, my top five are Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, and Stanford. I moved Boise State out of the top five because I think these five are playing a much tougher schedule.
Yeah, well, it sounds good. We'll see. I think the top three are the top three, and nobody can argue with that. Yeah, I agree with you on Boise State. Let's continue now. What games do you have for us to pick this weekend?
Well, I'm going to give you a list of those. I would mention before we go to that I had three teams that are on the rise: Georgia, Kansas State, and Pitt. And then the three that are on the decline: Ohio State and South Florida. South Florida's kind of let us down, hasn't they?
Yeah, South Florida has, and I agree with you about Kansas State. Very underestimated program there before the year. Nice win against Baylor. Baylor's a tough team this year. I'll disagree with you about Georgia. I think Georgia has beaten now Coastal Carolina, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Not going to give them much credit for those wins. But
Rick needs all the credit he can get.
Well, he does. What are our games this weekend?
All right. Before we look at the 10 games, let me just list a couple of big games. One of them is going to be on our board, the others are not. And this is the week of Texas and Oklahoma. Have you ever heard of a quieter Texas-Oklahoma week than this? And then the second big game is Florida at LSU. And then one we might want to mention is Virginia Tech at Miami. You say, why that? Because we're going to see which one of these teams just totally crashes and burns. Maybe one other big game before we pick our 10 would be Mississippi State at UAB. So let's now look at our 10 picks.
Okay.
Starting off is one from the Pac-12. That is Cal at Oregon. Now remember that that last year was the lowest yards that Oregon scored for ran for the year was against Cal. And also remember that Tedford was the offensive coordinator at Oregon in 1998. Through 2001, but I'm going to pick Oregon to win this game.
Yeah, I'm too. I think Oregon is in. They lost that game to LSU, but they're still around. They're still a quality program, so I'll take Oregon as well.
Louisville at North Carolina. North Carolina is trailing in this series 2-3 versus Louisville, but I'm going to pick North Carolina.
Yeah, it's hard to go against North Carolina, and Louisville did get the win over Kentucky a couple of weeks ago. Not that that means very much, but I think North Carolina will take care of Louisville. And I think North Carolina, they've lost a couple of close games. I think they're maybe a little bit better than their record indicates.
The next game is Kentucky at South Carolina. Now, South Carolina is 5-0 versus Kentucky in South Carolina. But you remember last year, Kentucky won the game 31-28. But South Carolina led 28-10, and yet Kentucky came back and won it. But I'm going to go with South Carolina.
Well, I think South Carolina will win this game. I think they will bounce back. Oddly enough, Stephen Garcia will not be the starting quarterback for the Gamecocks. Steve Spurrier decided that Connor Shaw will get the start, although I think he should have made that decision when Garcia had his issues several months ago, but he didn't. He didn't instill discipline in his team, and I think he reaped what he sowed last Saturday.
The next game is Illinois at Indiana. Now, last year, Indiana had 5 turnovers in this game, but Illinois is one of our undefeated teams.
Yep.
So I'm going to pick Zook to continue to be the rook card, and so I'm going with Illinois over Indiana.
Well, it's hard to pick against Illinois at this point. They've done such a nice job. Yeah, I'm going to take Illinois as well. They are undefeated, and I think they will continue to be. Indiana, I mean, they lost to North Texas, lost to Ball State. They are just having a significantly bad run of things right now. And this is a rivalry game, a big rivalry game in the Midwest. Doesn't mean a whole hadn't meant a whole lot in the last couple of years. But, yeah, how about Ron Zook? I think he's going to improve to 6-0.
The next game is Oklahoma State hosting Kansas. Now, it might surprise you that Kansas has won 5 of the last 7 played in Stillwater. But nonetheless, I'm going to go with Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State is a good football team, and I believe they will beat Kansas. Kansas doesn't do much for me right now.
I believe that Oklahoma State might be one of the better teams.
Yeah, I think they are.
Let's go with the next.
Definitely got a great offense.
They sure do. And the next game is Florida at LSU. I'm going to pick LSU. But remember that last year, LSU ran that unbelievable fake field goal against Florida. And I don't know what Miles will pull out of that hat. He's got a lot of tricks under that hat. But I believe that LSU will win this game.
Yeah, I think they will too. And Driscoll is going to be the starting quarterback for Florida because John Brantley is definitely out for this game, which is a significant disadvantage for Florida as on top of what they already had. I mean, he's a true freshman. He played against Alabama's defense last week for a half. Now he gets to play against LSU's defense in Baton Rouge for 2 halves. So I just do not see Florida having a shot in the world to win this game. So I'm going to take the Tigers at home.
The next one is Georgia at Tennessee. I'm going to have to go with the Bulldogs in this one. That's a hard pick because the Bulldogs have been hammered their last 2 trips to Knoxville. But nonetheless, some way, somehow, and I don't even know how that is, I think Georgia might win this game.
No, I'm going to go with Tennessee. I think Tennessee is better coached, and I think they will be prepared for this game. Tennessee's only loss coming and the Swamp by 10 points, but I think they're right in the thick of things. As I mentioned earlier, in the SEC East, I like their chances this week at home against Georgia.
Texas A&M at Texas Tech. Now, even though the home team has a 12-5 record in this particular game, last year, Tannehill, the quarterback for Texas A&M, had 449 yards passing. That's a record for Texas A&M. I'm going to go with Texas A&M to win this game.
Well, I thought Texas A&M was going to be able to pull it off last week, and perhaps the week before. They've had close losses now 2 weeks in a row. You got to know confidence is dwindling there in College Station, but I think they can go on the road at Lubbock. I know Texas Tech is undefeated, but to this point they haven't really played anybody. And I like Texas A&M as a team. I think they're better than what their record indicates at 2-2, obviously. So I'm going to take them over Tommy Tuberville's Texas Tech squad.
Vanderbilt at Alabama. Now, the last time that they met was in Nashville, and Alabama won that game 24-10. That was Saban's first year. The last win for Vanderbilt in Tuscaloosa was in 1984. But the last 9 meetings, if I remember correctly, Alabama has won on an average of 20 points per game. And you know that Alabama's rush defense is just really good. And so I'm going to go with Alabama against Vanderbilt.
Well, I'm going to go with Alabama, too. We're talking about 2 good defenses. Believe it or not, Vanderbilt's defense is ranked 11th in the nation in total defense. They have, and of course, as you mentioned earlier, they lead the nation in interceptions. But
right.
Their offense is where the problems come in. They are 117th in total offense. And I think going on the road, playing in Bryant-Denny Stadium, is one of the hardest places for an offense to communicate and work effectively. So just for that reason alone, I don't think Vanderbilt will score very many points. Just look at what happened when they went to Columbia 2 weeks ago. I like Alabama to win this one by 2 touchdowns. I think it's going to be closer than people think. I say about 2 touchdowns.
Our last game to pick this week is Auburn at Arkansas. I'm going to pick Arkansas to win this game. Now, we all remember that Petrino was the offensive coordinator at Auburn in 2002, and last year Arkansas led the ball. Can you believe they led the game 43-37 with about 14 minutes and 9 seconds left, and the final score was Auburn 65, Arkansas 43. But I believe this year Arkansas will win this game.
Well, it's a tremendous amount of it was a great job for Auburn to win that game last weekend against South Carolina. I think Auburn has played a lot of spread teams, but hasn't played that much against the pro style this year. I think that'll obviously change this weekend against Arkansas. They have one of the most effective pro style offenses in the country. I like Arkansas in the game, but don't sleep on Auburn. They have defied the odds more times than not. And I will say this about this last game with Auburn, a stat that really shocked me. In every other game, including Florida Atlantic, including Utah State, every single game leading up to that South Carolina game, Auburn had a significant deficit in time of possession. They were, in some games, behind by 10 minutes. That was not the case in the win over South Carolina. They had 35, I believe, somewhere around 35 minutes of time of possession. This is the first game all year they won. And it showed. They didn't allow South Carolina's offense to get on the field and try to do anything when they held the football. If they can do that, I think they give themselves a much better shot at winning the game.
Well, you ready to go to the chalkboard and do a little chalk talk here?
Let's do it. Let's go to the chalkboard.
All right. I'm going to talk about the Tyler factor. Now, we know that Tyler Blay, Tennessee, he's averaged throwing for 322 yards per game. Tyler Wilson, Arkansas, has averaged 303 yards per game. So there must be something about that name, Tyler. Also, we would notice that Lattimore, for South Carolina, at 677 yards rushing, which is an average of 135.4 yards per carry. And Richardson of Alabama has 622 yards rushing, which is 124.4. And if you take that, and Richardson has 11 touchdowns and Lattimore 10 touchdowns. So if you take their yards and you add them up, and you take their touchdowns and add them up, it comes out to the fact that Lattimore and Richardson rushes 61.8 yards per carry. They score a touchdown.
Wow. So, it's interesting. You talk about the SEC. This is the year of the running back, and of course, Marcus Lattimore did not have a good game last weekend. But Trent Richardson for Alabama is coming on strong during the stretch here as we head into October. They were snapping it to him in the Wildcat toward the end of that game against Florida. You know, and I heard somebody say something funny the other day. They said if Alabama may be the only team in the country that can run the score up simply by running the ball up the middle, why don't they show a little class and throw the ball at the end of the game? I thought that was very humorous because Alabama's running attack seems to be more potent than their passing attack at times.
Before we turn our eyes to the weekend and the games then, let me mention one other thing from the chalkboard.
Okay.
You know, Florida and Georgia are great rivalries. They're playing, maybe they may play for the championship of the East, and they play in Jacksonville on the neutral field. And at this point in time, Georgia and Florida each average on offense 413.8 yards per game, each one of them. On defense, they each average 258.6 yards per game. So we might be seeing something that that is kind of strange when it comes to when we go to Jacksonville in a few weeks.
Could be, and I think that's going to be a big game for the East, as we obviously already know. And Georgia, Tennessee this weekend, it's going to be interesting. I'm very curious to see how the Eastern Division turns out this year. The only team that I'm going to say is out of it is Kentucky. I think every other school, all five of them, have a shot to win it this year. Well, Professor, I know you're traveling. Thanks for joining us in your studio away from the studio.
All right, thank you. Have a great week.
All right, you too. The college football professor joining us, as he always does on this Tuesday. Everyone have a nice afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow.